from the new album Songs of Mass Destruction. That's Annie Lennox, and the track is Sing. Annie, good evening to you. How are you?
I'm extremely well.
It's very, very good to see you again.
Very nice to be here.
And it's very good to have a new Annie Lennox record. So many things it's very good to do and very good to talk about. Let's talk about that track first of all, the one that we've just heard, with an interesting history and some interesting backing vocalists. Just tell us about that song.
I really wanted to write an anthemic song for women. I wanted to see if I could kind of do a follow-up of Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. So I wrote a song called Sing. And I have a great passionate interest in the situation with the HIV AIDS and women and children especially. So I wanted to use my music as a vehicle to kind of spread the message about HIV AIDS. And I was thinking, yeah, I must find some other artist that can join with me on this, because I have a certain number of people around the world that like me and are interested in what I do. But I thought if I join forces in a sort of activist way with other women, then that could be a very powerful thing. So we sent out some emails to quite a few artists asking them if they would sing on the track. Mm-hmm. And ended up with 23, who I call the Choir of 23. And I'm just still laughing because, I mean, I've ended up with Madonna on the second verse, which is just amazing, because I didn't ask her to sing the second verse, but she did. And then I have Pink, Shakira, Anastasia, Gladys Knight, Katie Lang. I have so many, and they're all just amazing. And Joss Stone sings the most beautiful ad-lib. And the thing is that, I've asked them if they will house the information about my Sing project on their website. So that is really beautiful, because I think music combined with message is a very powerful thing. And nowadays, with modern technology, we can spread messages instantaneously.
Yeah. Was this Choir of 23, were they all there at the same time? Or did they kind of add their bits and send in a tape or send in a...
This is the wonder of technology. We just sent them a copy of the song, and wherever they were, they might just drop into a studio. You know, I couldn't travel around the world going to each one individually. And many of them were in Los Angeles, or a few were in London. Sugar Babes were the first to do it, and they did it with my musical director here. And that was the start of it. Once the Sugar Babes had said yes, I was like, you're right, okay, here we go.
Was it that they joined in, do you think, because you had asked them to? Because, as you say, they'd been fans of your music over many years. Or was it the project and what it was standing for that hooked them in?
I think it probably is a combination of both, actually. I mean, people wrote to me and they were very, very sweet. And the general feedback was, if you're going to do something, we're really happy to back you up on it. Because, you know, I have spoken out about particular things, and I think people have a sense of me as someone who has a kind of activist background. And I also explained to them what this HIV/AIDS issue is about. And I'm sure a lot of them are already familiar with that issue. But what really touched me was that everybody got on board so quickly with me. I didn't have to wait and kind of try and tease it out of them. They were straight back. And it's such a privilege that they all did it. I'm still laughing about that, you know.
Amongst all the many needy causes that there are, what was it about HIV/AIDS which made you latch onto that?
Well, the thing was that I had heard that HIV/AIDS was spreading across Africa, and in fact, it's really everywhere. It's all across the Eastern Bloc, and it's in China and Asia, and it's just everywhere. And when I went to South Africa for the first time, I was invited to perform for the 46664 campaign, which is one of Nelson Mandela's foundations for HIV/AIDS. And it was only really when I actually watched Mandela himself describe the HIV/AIDS pandemic as a genocide that I really kind of sat up and listened to him. And I thought, if Mandela is saying there's a genocide taking place, there's something much bigger than I'd realised. And when I looked at the figures, at that time, 4 years ago, 17 million Africans had died directly of HIV/AIDS. And I started to look at all the statistics, and they're just horrendous. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm a woman and I'm a mother, and I'm so fortunate that my kids have been healthy and, you know, they have access to medication, they've had access to clean water and education, and they have opportunities like most kids in the West. But when you go to a third world country, you just see people struggling to get by against all the odds. They have people that are living in chronic and endemic poverty have such a battle going on, you know, and HIV/AIDS is the fourth killer. The top one is malaria, and then they have malnutrition, and TB goes along with HIV/AIDS. And when you actually go into a clinic, or you go into an orphanage, or you go into a hospice, or you go and meet people that are literally dying because they haven't been able to get access to treatment, or they don't have proper nutrition, it's just devastating. And when people say that people are dying like flies, they really literally are. And that's heavy. Mm. You know, you think Holocaust, you think genocide, and you think Second World War and the horrendous Jewish Holocaust, which was a whole other thing, a man-made, very deliberate thing. But I feel that if people are not being, if they're being ignored and they're not being given access to treatment, it's a different kind of Holocaust, you know. So I feel really strongly about it. And I just felt I owe it to those people that have fought so hard to have freedom in a country like South Africa, for example, because I supported the anti-apartheid movement. I thought, how ironic, how terribly twisted that after so many years of struggle, South African people have come through, 10 years down the line, everybody's affected by the HIV/AIDS pandemic.
And what do you say, Annie, to those people? There may be some listening now, and you'll have had conversations with them before, who say to you and to Bob Geldof and to Bono, just spare us the preaching, you know, get on and make the music. We don't want polemic in music.
Well, yeah, spare us the preaching. I hope that I don't come across too preachy. I mean, it's something I feel so strongly about. And I would say that everybody has an opportunity to do something in their lives. And this is what I can do because I have the bridge. I mean, as a performer, as a public persona, if you like, I feel it's my duty in a way to bring attention to things whenever I can. And I'm focusing on this particular issue, although there are so many other issues that I'd like to talk about. We are all affected by this. We can't just turn our heads away. Everybody is potentially affected by what the global village of humanity is all about. So I'm sorry if I'm being preachy, but people don't have to hear what I have to say. They don't have to take it on board. If they want to just hear my music, that's fine. They can switch me off.
We'll talk more about the record in the second half of the programme. Let's play Dark Road, first single from the album. Just explain this. Where is this dark road?
Well, it's a metaphor for life, really. I think after you've lived for a certain amount of time, it's almost impossible to avoid certain things that will come to you. You know, the issues of sickness or loss, or could be bankruptcy. There's so many things. Life is a journey. And, you know, when you're young and you haven't had life's experience, you haven't perhaps had some of the struggles that we will end up facing in later life. And so I would say that the path of life can be very dark. It can really be dark. And it is for so many people. And I think probably at my stage, I'm thinking, well, you have to try to embrace the positive aspects of things. So this term dark road, yeah, as I say, it's a metaphor, it's a symbol for life's path and life's journey.